Good morning, New Covenant. My name is Jeff Trask, and it's, as always, a pleasure to provide a teaching. God has really been speaking to me about various types of things, and I'm going to share various scriptures that's in this week's lectionary that will hopefully encourage you and inspire you as you go about your week. And the title of my teaching is called, Do You or Don't You? And it is not intended to be any type of rebuke or challenge or anything like that, but it's actually something that actually gives me encouragement and strength when I'm actually perplexed or dealing with something in particular that I find difficult in this world we live in. And so what it is for me is it's a reminder to ask myself the question, do I or don't I believe in God and the scriptures tell us and in Jesus? Because when I just face that question and actually come to conclusion that yes, I do, then a lot of other things fall into place and makes living this life much, much better. And so I wanted to kind of talk about some of these realities that we have to deal with in life. And when we ask ourselves that question, do we or don't we believe, and we face the answer to that question and we can answer that with affirmative, how we can end up, I think, feeling better about things. Now, I want to start off with one of the scriptures in the lectionary, Joshua 24, chapter 24, verse 15, where he says, now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know, and reality is that human beings love choices. I mean, we like to keep our options open. You know, go to the grocery store, you got more and more options. You know, want to keep things interesting and fresh. You like experiencing different things. You know, you got our 22 different types of Oreo cookies and our 18 different types of Cheerios and our 30 different types of toothpaste. Even in healthcare, preferred provider organizations, PPOs, have taken over the market for insurance compared to health maintenance organizations or HMOs simply because of choice. And that's despite the fact that PPOs are more expensive. We love our choice. And despite fighting change when it's inconvenient for us, we actually love change as well. I mean, if we didn't, we would end up wearing the same clothes every day, or we would never change our hairstyles, or never go on vacation, or we'll just watch the same TV show all the time. So between wanting choices and change, it's no wonder the conversation Joshua's having with the people, you know, hitting Israel, chosen Israel, makes sense. You know, the chosen Israel finally made it out of the wilderness, you know, 40 years removed from slavery. They have a defeated people in the land that they possess and occupy at that time. So really, life is pretty grand for the children of Israel. And now it's just a matter of, you know, how to best move forward. And just like now, they had some options. They had the gods that Abraham served before being called by God. They had the gods of Egypt and the land where they were enslaved. They had the gods of the Amorites and the new land they were occupying. And, you know, Joshua's like, hey, here are your choices. But what I appreciate the most about what Joshua says here is that, you know, he doesn't necessarily tell them what to choose, right? He gives them the options and he's being open and honest about that. You know, the same way, you know, we have options. We have an option to choose God and choose to believe in God, not only just in general, but, you know, every single day, every single minute, every single decision. We have that option. And Joshua doesn't force anybody to choose God in any way, shape, or form either. He's like, do what you want to do. But as for me, my choice is clear. You know, and I think that's just a great example as well that, you know, this choice has to be something that is freely done. It can't be something that's forced upon us. Otherwise, it won't be truly meaningful. And it's just this reality. We have a choice to make day in and day out. And I like the chosen Israel's response here. It says in verses 16 to 18, then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went, and among all the peoples whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And so this brings me to one of several do you or don't you's that I'm going to cover today. And the first one is, do you or don't you believe that God has and will make a way? Now, we had a saying in church growing up that God will make a way out of no way. And here the children of Israel remembered and they reasoned this thing out. I mean, who else did those things for them? Why should they follow any other God that didn't do those things for them? It was a matter of deduction for them, really. Even logically speaking, why would you support gods that were part of perpetuating your slavery in Egypt or part of a group of people who were just defeated in the land you just took? You know, so they probably had a pretty, you know, relatively easy decision here when you come to think about it. But again, it was their choice. And as a black person in America, I kind of think about something similar in terms of the political scene. I don't want to get New Covenant in any trouble talking about politics, but there is a clear distinction between those who are fighting against things that affect African-American communities, like voting rights and gun laws and treatment towards those who are rich and the symbols and the statues that represent those that wanted black people to be enslaved forever and blaming black people for their plight in the country instead of acknowledging how we got here in the first place. I mean, if you're black, it's difficult to say it makes sense to follow a group that tends to work against you as opposed to those that don't. And I'm not letting the other side off the hook by any means, because there's a whole lot of things that they have done against the African-American community as well. But it's pretty clear at that point what your choice might be. I think the children of Israel had a similar experience where they're looking at their different options and who has done what for them. And God definitely seemed to be the right choice. And keep in mind that even when you make the right choice, it's not all peaches and cream either, because even their God that they chose did choose to have them spend 40 years in the wilderness after they didn't believe that they'll be able to take the land earlier. And so these choices are always available to us. But at the end of the day, we have to beg the question, do we believe that God would make a way out of no way? And though it's easy to focus on a negative, the reality is that God has constantly and continues to make ways out of no way. I mean, the children of Israel were in slavery for 400 years and before they escaped Egypt. And I think about the plight of African Americans, how we even have been struggling for 400 years. But yet you have a situation here in America where we went from being enslaved and not being allowed to even be educated in any way, shape, or form to having a president that had a Harvard Law School degree. So things can and do change, and God really can make a way. And I can probably guess that in your life, you can probably trace a time where, you know, you didn't think God will see you through it, and somehow God did it. So a number two, do you or don't you, for me is the fact that nothing is wasted. Psalm 34, verse 22 says, "The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." I mean, one of my biggest desires in our world is to do what Amos 5:24 says and let justice roll down like a river and righteousness like a never failing stream. I mean, even people who make movies know that human beings are wired with this desire to see justice. I mean, how many times does a movie start off with some harm being done to someone and you wait the whole movie to make sure that justice is served and the person that did the harm ends up getting justice in the end? You know, and God is a just God. And what we sacrifice for God is never wasted. It all matters. And in some way, in this life or the next, justice will indeed reign. There's another one of the things I have to remember constantly as a black person in America, because, for example, I was just shocked the other day. I mean, I just was beside myself when the Republican Lieutenant Governor of Texas actually said that the spread of COVID in Texas was due to black people. I mean, I was just blown away by that comment, because besides it being not factually true, which, you know, three times more white people were unvaccinated in Texas than black people in the first place. But it's just off the charts in hypocrisy when you consider that it was his party in Texas that were fighting mass mandates, downplaying the importance of the vaccine and making it a being safe a political issue in the first place. You know, so when I see and hear things like that, if I cannot remember that God is a just God and nothing that we sacrifice for God is wasted, that just gives me a sense of more peace and believing that God's promise will come through. And in those kind of cases, will keep me sane. another promise, it comes out of Psalms 84, verse 10, that says, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of the wickedness." Looking at everything people in the world do to one another, it will seem that evil is the norm sometimes, and it's better to take that evil route over good. And it seems like there's no bounds to what kind of evil people may do to one another. But my do or don't you number three is that good is indeed better than evil. And it's so much so that the Psalm suggested it's better to do a sliver of good than to do a lifetime of evil. That it's better to hold a lowly place in something that is right than the highest honor and status in something that is wrong. And again, that gives me a sense of comfort when I feel like there seems to be more evil being celebrated in the world than good. Another do you or don't you, number four, is that we can delight in the Lord. Psalm 126 verses 1 through 3 says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." You know, following God, while full of trials and tribulations, can and is fun and fulfilling. I remember my days with campus ministry, for example, where we made being a Christian fun by having a step-in ministry, in which some people in New Covenant might remember we had come to New Covenant a long time ago. We had a liturgical dance group. We had a worship team. We had sports teams. It was all Christian-based organization stuff. And, you know, living for God was not a drag by any stretch of imagination. And then sometimes when we do, quote unquote, church stuff or volunteering our time for a good cause, it can feel more like a burden than a blessing. However, there is joy in serving. And I believe we're designed by God to help and support one another. Matter of fact, there's even studies that show people scoring higher on happiness scales when they're giving of themselves and helping others. And so whether it's serving or whether it's just being, we can truly delight in the Lord. And if we remember his promises and his word and we believe, that is the reality. Another do you or don't you is that we are not alone. 1 Kings verse 8:23 says, "He said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart." You know, the world can be a scary place. And as Ephesians talks about, our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers in present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. You know, there's a battle being fought day in and day out. But the reality is that we are not alone. God not only equips us with protection and be able to deal with all these rulers and princes of dark places and all the kind of stuff that goes on, but he walks with us every step of the way. And if we can remember that, particularly when we're having those times where we're feeling down or it just seems like things are coming against us, we can always remember that we are never alone. Brings me to number six. It relates to something I've been feeling lately, and one of the reasons why I kind of was inspired to do this particular teaching. There's been a number of losses in people I've known, and in just recent weeks even. Have an aunt that passed away right before a family reunion, which was sad because she was really looking forward to it, and she was actually the impetus of why we were doing the family reunion, so she can see everybody before she passed. I have a former student that taught no more than a couple of months ago that was a victim in a triple homicide in Springfield, Illinois. I have another close family friend that died from COVID not too long ago. And of course, even at New Covenant, we have our recent losses over the last year or so. And you know, as I get older and, you know, more and more people in your life that you know pass away, it can be depressing, obviously. And one of the things that gives me a sense of comfort is this number six, is that it's never over and it only gets better. Because if we do truly believe what God tells us, is that this life is only temporary. Matter of fact, James says it's only a breath of air or breath that just vanishes away. You know, that's what life is. And we're promised that this life is just a little blip on the screen compared to the eternal life that we have in the future. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't miss people and we don't despair at times and we don't bear the grief of losing people. But believing in that promise that is never over and only gets better kind of gives us a sense of peace that those folks that we have lost are going to be in a better place. And finally, do you or don't you, number 7, is the belief that Jesus is the way. The lectionary points out in John chapter 6, Jesus talking to his disciples, and is really interesting because is when he is revealing the fact that he is the Son of God, and in order to get to the Father, you have to go through him. And many of the disciples that were around, it was more than the 12 at the time, they just weren't buying it. And so they started to take off. And then Jesus asked his 12 disciples, are you guys going to take off too? And there's a wonderful sense of commitment that Peter responds to Jesus with in saying that, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. And at the end of the day, that's what we have to also believe and remember, that do you or don't you believe that Jesus is the way? Because when you believe that and when you accept Jesus, believing that Jesus is the way, all these other things come into play and come into fruition as well. God has sacrificed his one only son so that we can be redeemed and we can enjoy not only an abundant life now, but abundant life forever. And that is simply a joy to remember and think about. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes it gets tough in this world with all the craziness that happens, with all the tough things that we have to experience, with all the loss that we have. But the reality is, Lord, that we have a whole host of promises that not only can keep us hopeful, but also keep us joyful. And Father, when we do run into these tough times and we do feel burdened, we do feel down, Lord, we just ask that we can be in remembrance of these promises and ask ourselves, do we or don't we believe? And come to that conclusion that when we do, that there's so much more peace and understanding and love there for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.